Thanks for coming back each month to listen to Make Sure Stories. You can help support us by writing a review on your favorite podcast service, such as iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Is there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Could that be somewhere or sometime along an indefinable line between the reasonable and the highly unlikely? Makeshift Stories presents a monthly journey into the improbable. Stop. No user serviceable parts inside. It's a label commonly affixed to the back of many devices these days, meaning hands off, don't touch, we don't want you meddling with our intellectual property. Some manufacturers insist that you can only use them to repair their products and will brick your gadget if you use a third party. Others have forced their customers to turn to the black market for help to hack their devices so they can repair them anywhere. In this month's story, the owner of an artificial heart discovers that repairing the machine that has been keeping him alive will cost more than he originally paid for it. So much more, in fact, that he cannot afford the name brand part the manufacturer insists that he must use. With only a few days to come up with the money, he is desperate to find a solution. We invite you now to sit back and relax as you listen to episode 116, No User Serviceable Parts. Somewhere in some time, you might find yourself forced to do a DIY repair in order to survive.
Our records show that you recently replaced a subvalve assembly in your Pulse 9 artificial heart at an unauthorized repair clinic. To ensure your health and longevity, HeartTech uses only the best parts and software in our products. These have been exhaustively tested using the rigor of our world-renowned quality assurance program. You will note our end-user agreement states that the Pulse 9 is the property of HeartTech Laboratories and your license does not permit you to use third parties to repair your Pulse 9 base model serial number X68-424201. As a result, we are legally obliged to inform you that we have instructed your Pulse 9 to decommission the part in question. We have generously granted you 7 days to correct the situation. Before this period is up, we would advise you to visit the closest authorized clinic where we can update the software in your Pulse 9 to test and accept the third-party subvalve, or you can opt to pay for a new genuine HeartTech part. The standard fee for authorization is $190,000. A genuine HeartTech subvalve assembly will cost only $200,000. Authorization or replacement before the end of the 7-day grace period will ensure continued uninterrupted operation of your Pulse 9 artificial heart. Failure to comply with this request will result in the revocation of service. Thank you for choosing HeartTech, the rhythm of life, and have a nice day.
The artificial voice had been pleasant enough, Couric reasoned, as he instinctively clutched at his chest and found the reassuring beat of his Pulse 9. His fingers traced the stitches where the independent fix-it place had installed the new part only 2 days previous.
$190K. I don't have $190,000.
Couric grumbled as he put his handheld back into a coat pocket and got off the bus. He felt for a small plastic bag next to the handheld, pulled it out and looked at it, thinking. Someone bumped against his arm, almost making him drop the thing.
Hey, doofus, watch where you're going!
An angry woman carrying a heavy-looking briefcase called over her shoulder as she rushed off. Oblivious to his surroundings, Couric rolled the bag over in his fingers and read the plastic seal the fix-it shop had given him. Warning, no serviceable parts inside. The words were embossed in red letters and bookended by a HeartTech logo and a yellow yield sign with an exclamation mark. He cursed,
then threw the bag into the gutter in disgust. 3 years previous.
I'm sorry, Mr. Kowalski.
The doctor at the 24-hour payday loan medical clinic began to apologize. Kirk knew it was going to be bad news. Reception had pulled his entire credit history and insurance coverage at the front counter before the appointment. A week ago, he had experienced sudden severe chest pains as he was walking home. The 24-hour payday loan medical clinic was the closest and only clinic he could afford. They gave him an advance on his next week's salary to pay for the appointment, then let him right in to see the doctor on duty. The man, near retirement as far as Kirk could tell, performed several tests, screwing up his face at the results before he finally said he wanted a second opinion, gave Kirk a bottle of aspirin, and told him to avoid stress and any heavy activity until he came back. Today's doctor, a person who looked like they had just graduated from medical school, pored over the test results on a flat screen built into her desk at an angle so the patient couldn't see what was on it. She looked up and stared at Kirk critically, thinking. Then appeared to make up her mind and blurted out,
"Your credit and insurance are limited, so to keep costs down, I'll get right to the point. It's your heart."
Kirk turned white.
"But I eat right and walk miles every day," he protested.
"Any family members who have a history of cardiovascular disease?"
she asked.
"We couldn't find a medical history for you in the database."
Kirk struggled to form an answer. I was a test tuber. They didn't keep good records back then."
"No family history,"
the doctor confirmed as she typed into an unseen form on her screen.
"If you had your family's genetic history, this would have shown up. There was nothing you could have done to avoid this. It's in your DNA. If you trained for marathons, doused yourself in omega-3s, and eaten only lettuce, this still would have happened. You'll need a new heart, of course."
But I don't have that kind of..."
Kirk began to protest.
"We're talking about your life, Mr. Kowalski. How much is it worth? Besides, the cost has come way down in the last few years. We checked your insurance coverage and credit limit. You can afford it, Mr. Kowalski, although just barely. The operation can be performed right here in the office. It just takes an hour these days. Normally, we'd get you a generic mechanical, but it's your lucky day. For just a bit more, we have a Pulse 9, top of the line. It's a refurb, but even a used Pulse 9 will outlast the best generic."
Kirk stared at the doctor, still trying to come to terms with the diagnosis.
And there's no drug or gene therapy you can use?"
he asked, desperation underlining his question.
"Drugs and gene therapy might give you another 6 months to a year, two at the most. However, after that, you'd be back here needing a replacement, having spent your insurance dollars on ineffective and expensive treatments. Or you might just suddenly die on the street. I'll be frank, you have a ticking time bomb in there, Mr. Kowalski,"
the doctor emphasized, pointing her finger at his chest.
"Also, we couldn't guarantee we'd have a refurb available. Now is the time to act. We like to practice preventative medicine."
She smiled.
"But the cost?"
"It's your life, Mr. Kowalski. We're not talking about making a discretionary purchase like buying a car."
"But I can't afford one. I walk everywhere. I told you that."
"Well, you won't be walking any place without a heart. We have payment plans, and we'll even throw in a 10-year warranty on the refurb. $30,000 all in."
"And the generic?"
"$28,000, and it only comes with a 2-year non-extendable warranty."
Kirk nodded, thinking tentatively.
"And there's no alternative? I couldn't wait a couple of years to save up for it?"
"No, you'd be dead. Just put your thumbprint here."
The doctor pushed a small piece of smart paper at him. Kirk began to read the small print.
"I'll be blunt with you, Mr. Kowalski,"
the doctor said, beginning to get impatient.
"After reviewing your results, I'm surprised you're still alive. You could be dead in an hour if we don't start right now. Yes, there's a lot of fine print, but it's just the usual end-user agreement for the Pulse 9, and because it's a refurb, most of it doesn't apply anyway. It's just a formality HeartTech Labs requires us to follow, even on resales. And I strongly recommend that you act now while you still have time."
Kirk hovered his thumb over the corner of the page and looked at the doctor.
I don't have a choice, right?
No choice. Just sign.
She sighed, then nodded.
I wouldn't want you to die in my office.
Kirk closed his eyes and pressed.
1 week ago.
Hello. I'm getting a fault indicator on my handheld for my Pulse 9.
Kirk said with a note of anxiety in his voice. As soon as his handheld had notified him of the problem, he had the device look up the warranty card and call the support line.
Policy number.
The slightly artificial voice on the other end immediately asked without checking on his health.
ZP-2300-67-KW.
Kirk read from the card on the small screen. There were a few minutes of static before the operator responded.
Thank you, Mr. Kowalski. I see from your account that you have a refurb. Let me look at the diagnostics from your heart. Okay, I see the problem. Your Pulse 9 is predicting a subvalve failure in 31 days. I've sent the information to a clinic where it can be repaired.
I don't mean to complain. Kirk protested, but I was told the Pulse 9s are the best artificials available. I've only had this one for 3 years.
That is correct, sir. However, your refurb was in service for 9 years prior to your purchase. After 12 years, valve issues are quite typical.
But I got the extended warranty.
And that's why we can help you, sir.
The address you sent me is for an independent low-cost outfit. Not a heart tech clinic.
Kirk complained.
Yes, that is correct, sir. If you read your extended warranty, it explicitly states that the underwriters, that's us, will effect repair of your artificial heart at a clinic of our choice. I am sending your claim number, Mr. Kowalski. Please present it on arrival to the clinic at the address I have already sent you. Is there anything else I can help you with?
Kirk didn't know what to say.
Hearing nothing, I thank you for your patronage.
The AI chirped. The support link went dead, leaving Kirk staring at the address on his screen until he shook himself into action, then tried to call again. He was immediately put into a queue.
Due to unanticipated call volumes, all our agents are busy at the moment. However, our clients are important to us. If you stay on the line, your call will be answered in the order it was received. There are currently 142 callers ahead of you.
Kirk swore and hung up. 2 days ago, Kirk found himself feeling unsafe, even though it was noon and the sun was shining. The service center, Quality Prosthetic Repairs and Fix-It Shop, was located in a rough area of the sprawl. Low-rise buildings pressed into the street, so tight that there was almost no room for pedestrians. Their storefronts were infested with ancient used parts vendors, pawn shops, loan sharks, and grimy beer halls that spilled out onto the sidewalk, filled with people who obviously had nothing to do that day, or any day, Kirk suspected. Like hungry wolves, they watched as he passed, checking out his shoes, coat, and haircut, trying to determine if he was worth rolling. Kirk had grown up nearby, and even back then, this was an area to be avoided. Although he had high hopes when he was young, he hadn't landed very far from the sprawl. Kirk had worked his way through college while living at home, eventually graduating as a graphic designer. But by the time he was ready to look for work, AI-driven marketing platforms had taken all the jobs, delivering individually targeted and designed instant ads. The only thing he eventually found was part-time employment in a warehouse monitoring the robots. For some reason, no one was comfortable with letting machines supervise machines. He supplemented his warehouse job with the odd design for small businesses who couldn't afford to advertise on the big commercial platforms. To his relief, he finally found the address. The clinic was sandwiched between a payday loan outlet and a second-hand store. All prostheses fixed, any make, any model, the sign half-covered in graffiti announced. Kirk was not optimistic. He looked around to make sure no one was behind him, then pushed through the battered metal reinforced door. there was an interior door which automatically hissed open, like an airlock. Then Kirk was through, into a brilliantly lit, ultramodern interior. It was as if he had stepped through a portal into another world. There was no one around, and the room was empty except for a sign, which instructed him to enter his claim number on a kiosk embedded in one wall. After punching in his code, the sign directed him to an examination room. Again, no one was present. A pair of robotic arms were suspended above the examination table, and a large screen was embedded into one wall.
"Lie down, please, and open your shirt,"
a disembodied voice asked politely.
"And we'll begin."
"There's no surgeon, no people?"
Getting nervous, Kurik asked.
"We use remote presence, Mr. Kowalski. One highly skilled operator can cover 10 locations simultaneously. All quality work, all guaranteed. Better and far cheaper than a brand-name clinic. But I'm obligated to advise you that we use generic parts. They're high quality, come from the same factories, in fact. You just don't pay for the name. Now, please lie down."
Kirk hesitated.
"Mr. Kowalski, run a tight schedule. So if you don't mind, sir."
Kirk took his shirt off, then lay down on the table. An arm immediately swung in and applied a local anesthetic.
"One small cut, 10 minutes, and we're done,"
the voice explained calmly. Kirk could only feel the momentary pressure of a blade on his skin. Next, the manipulator arm reached into the cut and removed a small label, dropping it into a waiting bag.
"Souvenir,"
the remote operator noted casually.
"For an extra $100, we can provide a video recording of the operation. Are you interested?"
Kirk declined. Then a small tent dropped down to block his view, and the remote operator began to whistle a random tune. The present. Kirk watched the women who had bumped into him hurry off, feigning indignation, then turned around to go to his rented room. He found himself unconsciously slowing his pace, fingers pressed to the arteries of his neck, making sure the heart was keeping up with his body's demand for blood. He tried to imagine how it worked. Blood surging in, squeezed, pushed, thump, thump, thump. He could feel its rhythm in his fingertips, but found he didn't trust the machine anymore. Lost in thought, he almost walked into the path of an auto cab. The pulsing sped up when he sidestepped at the last minute to dodge the car. He took his hand away from his neck, then willed himself not to think about the machine in his chest and the 7-day notice. It took Kirk 30 minutes to walk from the transit stop to his small room. It was almost 5 when he got there, which barely gave him time to change before he had to leave for a half shift at the warehouse. By the time he got back, it was past midnight. The mindless job had allowed him to fruitlessly loop through the problem, which only heightened his anxiety and anger. He imagined how he would lash out. He would sit in the insurance company's office until they paid for a proper repair, or he'd die waiting. He'd post his story online, and it would go viral, embarrassing Heart Tech and everyone else involved. Reality finally hit, and he admitted that the clinic, the insurance company, the repair shop, nor Heart Tech would care. His story wouldn't go viral. It would be lost in the daily deluge of hard luck posts. He was a nobody in a world overflowing with him. How was he going to raise the money? He had maxed out his credit to get the Pulse 9, and he still had another 7 years of payments. Kirk didn't sleep. He paced his room until the sun came up again, softened by the haze of the city. As soon as office hours started, he picked up his handheld and called Quality Prosthetic Repairs and Fix-It Stop. An AI answered on the first ring.
"Good morning. How can I direct your call?"
The pleasant artificial voice grated against Kirk's mood like sandpaper.
"You, machine, get me the owner."
He pushed all his frustration into the words.
"Now, I have a complaint."
"Switching you to service and support, sir,"
the AI calmly announced. Cheery J-pop blasted through the speaker for a moment, then suddenly stopped.
"Claim number, please,"
another machine politely requested. Caught off guard, Couric fumbled to find the number stored on his handheld. There were a few clicks and beeps while the AI on the other end pretended to look it up. The ruse was supposed to make callers feel more comfortable, to make them feel that the machines were more human. However, everyone knew they had instant recall, so the pause only irritated Couric.
Yes, Mr. Kowalski. I can see that we have replaced a subvalve assembly in your HeartTech Pulse 9. I have a service bulletin from yesterday, which I am obligated to read to you. In a 7-2 decision, the Supreme Court has ruled in favor of HeartTech in the case of HeartTech versus General Prosthetics Corporation. The decision states the following. General Prosthetic Corporation, nor any other generic replacement part manufacturer, will be allowed to build, print, or otherwise manufacture unlicensed third-party components for the Pulse 9 line of artificial hearts. Further, HeartTech has been given the authority to deauthorize all unlicensed parts in current distribution, provided the owner of said part is given advance notice such that the unlicensed component can be replaced at the owner's expense with a regularly priced HeartTech component. We assume you have received the HeartTech offer, Mr. Kowalski. If you haven't, I can...
I got it! Couric yelled. But I can't afford it. I was told I was covered. What do I do now? Just wait until my heart stops?
Yelling will not help, Mr. Kowalski. I am an artificial, and do not respond to emotion. Calm yourself. This is not a death sentence. The courts have forced HeartTech to provide assistance and allow you time to receive it. However, I regret to inform you that Quality Prosthetic Repairs and Fix-It Shop has been forced to file for bankruptcy. The damages awarded to HeartTech exceeds our current market evaluation. I have forwarded your case to the closest authorized HeartTech clinic. Good day, Mr. Kowalski.
Couric screamed in frustration until the neighbors on both sides banged the walls. Then he collapsed on his bed and cried. A chirp from his handheld pulled him out of his despair. It was a message. I'm dead, he texted back. Or might as well be. It's my artificial heart. The company that makes it is going to shut down the part I had installed because it's an unlicensed generic. They won some lawsuit or something. But they'll replace the part, won't they? Adriana, Couric's lifelong friend, messaged back. For 190,000. I haven't got 190,000. That's 6 times what I paid for the thing in the first place. The part will stop working in 6 days. Don't panic, Couric, Adriana texted. I think there might be a way around this. Let me connect with someone I know online. They're not 100% above board, so it's a bit risky, but I believe they can help. 2 hours later, Couric sat in a grimy booth inside a public net access hub. The hubs had been set up decades ago to provide low-cost access to people in the sprawl zones who couldn't afford a handheld. After handhelds had been mandated and given out even to the poorest, most of the hubs had closed. However, others like this one survived by dropping off the map to provide anonymous access to the net at highly inflated prices. The gear was old and crash-prone, sticky with use, yet the owners refused to replace anything. In fact, they avoided it, keeping the old machines running with homebrew parts that they could guarantee didn't contain snooper software. Couric had to pay more than a day's wages in cash for 15 minutes. He looked at the darknet address his friend had given him on the inside of a gum wrapper. She had refused to text it to him, insisting that he meet her at a coffee shop instead. Couric looked around to make sure no one was watching, opened a Tor browser, and typed in the address. The screen went blank, and Couric thought the ancient computer had crashed. Then a web page began to slowly appear, line by line. It was a list of services. He scanned down the page as it rendered until he spotted Unlock branded prosthetic device. He clicked on the link and was taken to a form which asked for the make, model, serial number, and IP address of the target device. Once he had completed the form and clicked Next, a price appeared requesting payment in Bitcoin. It wasn't outrageous, but oddly, it was exactly all Kirk had and would mean he'd have to renege on his other debts. At first he hesitated, then decided that if the hack worked, he'd worry about his creditors later, and if it didn't, well, it wouldn't be his problem anymore. Kirk moved the Bitcoin from his wallet to the account indicated on the screen. A pop-up message appeared thanking him for his payment. The Pulse9 reported that it was receiving a firmware update. Kirk thought he could feel the prosthetic momentarily hiccup, which sent a bolt of fear through his body, but the heart continued to work. The screen changed, indicating that it was registering and authorizing all third-party parts. The subvalve assembly appeared, then flashed green. Kirk looked up at the terminal, just in time to glimpse a winking emoticon as the screen went blank and the connection was broken.
"That's everything, that's it?"
he exclaimed loud enough for the attendant at the front desk to hear. Kirk checked his handheld again. The HeartTech app had been replaced by a generic prosthetic control. He opened it and saw his heart was listed. The icons indicated that everything was working normally. Relieved, he closed the control, then checked his online wallet, which showed a negative balance. The hacker had taken more than they said they would. It was almost 4 months' wages. But it was still only a tiny fraction of what HeartTech had been asking. Still feeling apprehensive, Kirk turned the terminal off and left. As he walked back to his room through the low-rise sprawl, he was conscious of the foreign object in his chest and began to question whether his organic heart had even been a problem. He hadn't had the money for a second opinion. Maybe the 24-hour clinic had just scammed him, sold him a used prosthetic he didn't even need, then resold his organic heart. Organics still commanded a higher price than artificials. Had he just been scammed again? For the next 5 days, Kirk existed in a state of uncertainty, in a gray zone between the living and the dead. He moved through each day in limbo, fully expecting HeartTech to reach out and reclaim their property. When he woke up on the seventh day, still alive and well, Kirk felt that he had rejoined the world of the living. 6 months later, Kirk almost collapsed onto the floor when the Pulse9 momentarily stopped. As he recovered, gasping, leaning against the wall, trying to calm himself, his handheld buzzed. He pulled it out of his pocket, expecting an error report from his heart. But instead, he found a message. "We're asking for a favor. The instructions are attached. We have our fingers on the button." The message was followed by a winking emoticon.
Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 116, No User Serviceable Parts. We hope that you've enjoyed this month's episode. As always, if you like what we're doing, please tell your friends about us, or write a review on iTunes, or Stitcher Radio, or check us out on Facebook. We love hearing your comments, so send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com, or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. And thanks to those from all over the planet who have already emailed us. We release a new story every month between the 15th and the 20th. To listen to Makeshift Stories on your iOS or Android device, please download Stitcher Radio from iTunes or the Google Play Store. This month's episode was written and read by Alan V. Hare. The opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by David H. And don't forget to listen to our ongoing story series, which is posted around the beginning of the month. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivative License, which means that you're free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.